Our sermon this morning is based on a reading from Luke chapter 26, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. May God add blessings to the reading and the hearing of the gift of the word today. Three more days to go till Christmas. In keeping with our Advent theme of the most wonderful time of the year, do you wonder what was going through Mary's mind in the last few days before she gave birth to Jesus, the first Christmas? I know all the mothers with us today can relate to what happens during the waning days of pregnancy. Every twitch, every twinge, every ache, you wonder, oh, is that a contraction or is it just my stomach growling? And you either may be thinking, oh no, I'm not ready for this. Or you may be thinking, let's get this over with. Because after 9 long months, all you want to do is finally hold that child in your arms to see its face and count its toes and smell it and love on it. I am sure that was how Mary felt too. And perhaps her mind wandered back to when it all began, to that meeting with the angel Gabriel, a meeting that started with wonder and fear and ended on a confident note with Mary joyfully saying, "Let it be with me according to your word." It was undoubtedly a difficult time for Mary, not only because of the usual tweaks and twangs of pregnancy, but the circumstances surrounding her particular pregnancy must have been the prime subject of hurtful gossip in Nazareth. Everyone knew, oh, surely in a small town, you know how it is. Everyone knew she had become pregnant before she and Joseph were officially married. Scandal, horror, shame, and blasphemy, blaming God, saying it was all God's doing. By rights, since an engagement was tantamount to marriage, Mary could have been stoned to death as an adulteress. But she shared an amazing story with everyone, with her parents, with Joseph, maybe with the town rabbi, and it spread all throughout Nazareth. She had not been unfaithful to Joseph. She had not been seduced or assaulted. The child she carried had been created by the Holy Spirit of God. The child she carried was going to be the Messiah that Israel so longed for. Skepticism was tinted with hope as Mary placidly related her tale. The people wavered between belief and scorn. The Messiah coming at last? Hooray! But also, the Messiah coming from Mary? That's preposterous. But Mary never wavered in telling her account of an angelic visit, a holy promise, and an impossible impregnation. I wonder if she ever had a baby shower. What strength and courage she did have, this young girl standing up to attacks on her character and her honesty and integrity without breaking down or backing down. How did she keep her serenity? I wonder what kept her so strong and focused, so serene and assured and assertive. She remembered. She remembered exactly what the angel had said to her. So what if nobody else believes her story? She knew what she knew. Gabriel's first words to her, of course, were perplexing and troubling. "Greetings, favored one," he said. And she must have wondered, "Favored? Me? I'm just a girl. Girls were not favored in that society. Girls existed solely to work first in their father's house and then in their husband's, to have children and essentially be shuttered away. No chance for an education, no chance to be independent, no chance for a girl to be more than she was right then and there. Favored? Me? Mary must have wondered. I live in this podunk backwater town nobody's ever heard of and nobody ever comes to. So what brings you here to me? I wonder, what does it mean to be favored? What did Mary do to find favor with God? A small girl in a small town with no big ambitions, why did God choose her? Was she even trying to find favor with God? Or was she just doing her quiet Mary thing and God took notice and decided she was the perfect person to give birth to and to care for God's son? God saw there was something about Mary, but what was it? Was she a nice person, a modest person, a devout person, a praying person? Is that what brings us into God's favor? I wonder, how is favor found in words that drastically turn someone's life around, words that would make them the butt of jokes and a target for scorn and derision? I wonder how favor is found in setting someone up for a charge of faithlessness and adultery, enabling others to call her out as a sinner and plot her execution. How is favor found in scandal and shame? Mary found favor in God's sight? Really? Getting set up for disgrace and dishonor and ridicule and maybe even death, how can anyone find favor in that? Favor is found in the next five words Gabriel spoke to Mary: "The Lord is with you." Now that's what you call blessed assurance. Gabriel didn't tell her the consequences, but surely they flashed across her mind. People would say hurtful and hateful things to her and do hurtful things, like Joseph's decision to divorce her. Her parents might have even tried to send her away. Her friends may have turned their backs on her, not wanting to be associated with her, lest her sinfulness rub off on them. Mary would tell her story again and again and again, and there would still be some who would refuse to listen and believe. But through all this, Mary, through all this, the Lord is with you, Gabriel said. Do you think God would put you in this place and this situation and abandon you to face it all alone? God knows what you will be going through. God knows you may be a little fearful of childbirth, like most women. God knows what you will need. God knows your heart will hurt. But through all this, Mary, through all this, God will be with you. That is a promise. She clung to those words and claimed the promise. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you now and always. Do not ever be afraid. That was the most important thing Gabriel told Mary, but there were some other things she needed to hear too, such as what this miraculous child would do and be. As Gabriel articulated the destiny of Jesus, Mary's heart swelled with anticipation and joy as she got all caught up in the angel's excitement. Each proclamation was like the notes of a scale going higher and higher and higher, like a bubble gradually growing bigger and bigger and bigger. Mary clasped her hands and bounced on her tiptoes with every prediction. He will be great. Yes. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Yes. Yes. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. Yes. 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 He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Yes. 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 And his kingdom will never end. Yes. 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 But then the notes jangled and clanged and the bubble burst a bit. Practical Mary may have been just a girl, and maybe she didn't have much schooling, but she knew something about how babies are made. She must have watched the family's farm animals now and then. So just as she was about to open her arms and her heart and her womb and her whole self wide to this marvelous message, she came down to earth just a bit. Wait a minute there, Gabe. How can this be? I'm not married yet. I've never been intimate with a man, and I won't be until Joseph comes to take me to his home, which could be a year or more from this day. This is all well and good and exciting, but how can it happen? You may recall Zechariah asked the same sort of question of Gabriel. How can it be that my old and barren wife, Elizabeth, will be able to have a child? I wonder why Zechariah's question annoyed Gabriel, while Mary's did not. Well, Mary was a girl. Zechariah was a man. Mary had little to no education. Zechariah had studied scripture as befit a priest. Mary lived in a tiny, obscure village. Zechariah served God in the temple that was the prototype for God's heavenly realm. Zechariah brought the incense and prayers directly to the altar. Zechariah had served God for years. He should have known about God's power. He should have rejoiced right away when Gabriel told him about his son-to-be instead of doubting. That was why the angel struck him mute. You know, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. But Mary accepted Gabriel's message, each ping, ping, ping of possibility for the child she would bear. Behind her question was her willingness. I want this to happen. It will be wonderful. Never mind the scandal and the scorn. I want the Messiah to come to us through me. I just wonder how it can happen. So after hearing Gabriel's careful explanation that the power of the Holy Spirit would overcome her, after he told her nothing is impossible with God, Mary did something that we celebrate each year at this time. Mary said yes. Mary could have said, no, it will be too much. I'm not strong enough. I'm not ready. Gabriel, maybe you should go to somebody else and let her be the mother of the Messiah. But instead, she said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. She said yes without even thinking of the consequences. She'd heard it all her life. A virgin shall bear a son, little dreaming that she would be the one chosen to bring that prophecy into actuality. She said, nobody else is going to have this honor but me. Everyone else, even Joseph for a while, thought Mary was unfaithful and untruthful. But on the contrary, she was utterly faithful and utterly truthful because she listened to God and she believed God and she told the story properly and with awe. She said what Zechariah should have said, I am the servant of the Lord. She declared herself to be God's handmaid, standing beside God, waiting for God to use her however God saw fit. She clung to the promises, the Lord is with you, and nothing shall be impossible with God. I wonder if she really knew what she was getting into. Probably not, but she had faith that God would take care of her. She never doubted. She believed it would all turn out all right no matter what. This is why we remember and honor Mary. She sets a wonderful example for us of obedience and faith and trust. She heard God's assurance that God, with God, nothing shall be impossible, that no word from God shall ever be void of power. Even so, let it be, she said. Behold, look at me, and you do see me, obscure as I am. I'm here. I'm willing. Yes, 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 yes. And because of her yes, the world has been changed. Because of her yes, Jesus Christ was born and nursed and nurtured and sent into a world by a loving mother and a gracious father. Because of Mary's yes, we are here today, remembering that moment from centuries ago, the moment that made our lives worth living, the moment that brought the spark of the Spirit into the world, the moment when God said the time was right for redemption and restoration. We once may have wondered if we are loved and if we are worthy of God's notice, but wonder no more. Because Mary said yes, we are. Let us pray. Dear God, may we take away two important things from your word today. One, that nothing is impossible with you. Nothing. Let us remember that any time we begin to doubt what you can do with us and for us. And second, let us be like sweet, willing, trusting Mary. When you give us a task that seems more difficult than we can handle, let us remember we too are favored and blessed, that you have promised to be with us wherever we go. Enable us to say with Mary, yes, let it be with me according to your word. Thank you, God, for coming to us in the form of the child Jesus, born to be like us in our humanity, and born to be our Savior through his divinity. We praise his name this day and ever. Amen. to be with you this day and to celebrate this season with you. If you're not here on Christmas Eve, I hope you have a blessed time with friends and family. And remember that no matter what gift is under the tree this year, God has given us Jesus Christ. Love, hope, faith, joy, all the things that we need bound up in him. May Christ bless you this day and always. Go in peace. Amen.